This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Pull up 6:45. Jay Binkley will join us here in just a second as we will get into his final thoughts of the 2025 NFL Draft. Next year, it's in Pittsburgh. They're on the clock, so is your mock draft 1.0. But you know, quick shout out to Binkley and Nocero for all their draft coverage.
Great job.
That's more of a grind than you think. And, you know, props to those guys and props to what they did. You know, doing the draft show on Saturday, that's tougher than anything I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Like, driving around listening, like, who are these guys and how do they know this information?
That's
and
the
how do they do 4 hours of this content? Because they found the two biggest nerds that love football that gave you all the action. So without them, you don't have the character concerns. Without them, you don't have mock drafts. Without them, you don't have insight to what's going to happen. So big props to Chris Nocero and Jay Binkley.
Yeah, that's one of those things that I listen to and I go, I couldn't do this, right?
No.
I could not do that because they are so in tune to it. Now, I can look at these guys after, you know, they get drafted and go, oh, I'm excited about this guy and I'm excited about that guy or whatever the case may be. But going in and Binkley's like, who do you think they're going to take in the third round? Hell, I don't know five people that they're going to get drafted in this draft. And one of them's not going to get any attention being the number one pick overall, you know, in Cam Ward. And everybody's going to be focused on pick number 144. So they do a great job. Him and Nocero do an unbelievable job. And Binkley does a pretty good job as well with the draft stuff. Hello, Jay.
It's time for the College Football Report with Jay Binkley.
I'm still not sure I'm not Dusty's dad, but regardless.
On your home for K-State Athletics. 96.5, The Fan.
All right, Binkley, we're going to get to the draft conclusion here in just a second and to see what we need to work on forward. But we did a little bit of homework yesterday. We found a fun site, FanDuel, and they gave out what your racing horse name would be for the Kentucky Derby. Yours is Long Shot Barbecue. How do you feel about it?
I actually like that. It's a nice Derby name.
And then what's your strategy on picking the right horse?
Usually if they pee before they race,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a try and true method. I mean, back when we had the Woodlands here in Kansas City, I would go to a lot of the dog races and honestly, I would go down there, wait and see which dog took a whiz and I'd go bet on it.
Or a dump.
Yeah.
Double the bet.
The dump
there.
Was always guaranteed win.
Yeah. Cause they're much lighter when they do that. Are you going to go pay homage to Lauren, the Kentucky Derby winner buried in Prairie Village before the race? Or do you do that afterwards?
You know what, Bob? I haven't made it over there yet, but every year I keep telling you I want to go see the remnants of that horse.
Well, there's no remnants of a horse. It's a tombstone and a monument. The remnants are buried under the street.
Mm. But the horse is buried under the street.
Yeah, the legs are still sticking up. You can see those over there.
Yeah, my old co-host used to like horses, too. Mm. He was always so good at telling you which horse was better in the run. The mudders, because that's a difference. There are certain horses that are very good in the mud.
Yeah, well, his mother was a mutter or whatever they used to say.
True. So.
Binkley, the draft is officially over. Everything is settled and done. Where do you look forward to this Chiefs team moving forward with some of the additions they made in the draft?
I'm just looking forward to seeing, you know, they've obviously spent a lot of money and equity on their defense, and they've definitely been drafting for their defense, what that defense can do. But that's great. I mean, I can't wait to see that, how solid they're going to be. But what's the offense going to look back? Kind of like they thought it was going to be last year, having Hollywood Brown and Rashee Rice. Can these guys all stay healthy together? Because if they stay healthy together, that's a pretty good group, a pretty special group at wide receiver. If those guys, but I want to see them all play together, you know, and at the same time. And I guess the other big question is, can they block on the left side of the line?
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, we'll figure that out, I guess, as we kind of get closer and closer to the season, whether or not, you know, it's going to be the rookie or whether it's going to be Jalen Moore that's going to play, you know, that position over there.
Yeah.
They got a lot to figure out, and that's a good problem when you have two guys battling for a position. I don't have an issue with that as well. Is there anything that they still need to add? Like, yeah, they didn't quite complete this task or complete that task?
I don't really think so. I know that people see Nick Chubb out there and think, oh, you could put him in the backfield. But I think they're pretty set on all that. I just don't think there's anything you can add. Sure, you can always add other weapons and wide receivers and things like that, and Amari Cooper and guys like that. But I don't think you really need to add much, because if you really needed to add them to your team, they'd already be added to this team. If they're really a free agent that could help this team, they'd already be added. The draft's done. There's nothing else you can do. This is the team you're going to roll with.
Binkley, when you look at this offense next year, do you say that they all got to stay healthy and you know, if they can all stay together, it could be explosive. I know last year they, you know, took a hit with Rice getting injured and Worthy was a rookie. But, like, where do you see the numbers coming from this offense? Like, Rice, I know he is facing probably a suspension that we think about or we've been told about. But, like, is he your receptions leader and then it's Worthy, then it's Kelce? Or where does Kelce kind of find himself in this offense in 2025?
I think Kelce's there, 97 catches last year. They'll probably would be somewhere in the 80s as far as catches. And I don't think people realize that he's number one all time for anybody in the National Football League, receiver, tight end, for 9 straight years to have over 90 catches, which is insane. But I think this year he'll be in the 80s. I think Hollywood Brown has a big year. I think that they brought him in last year to be that, you know, that big hitter, guy downfield, catching passes. He loves being here. But then that injury, man, and he was going to be gone. It was going to be a one-year wonder for the Chiefs last year. Brett Veach even said so. Before the draft, Hollywood Brown, and he would go out and get that money, a huge year, and then get that money, bet on himself, get the money. Well, he got hurt. Then all of a sudden things changed. Like, I bet they can get this guy back here next year. His motivation level is high. But I'm really looking forward to seeing what he could do. And also Worthy. I want to see what he does taking that next step, because his confidence went way up midseason. He was brought in here, not as much stress at all on him because of Worthy here. And because Rice was here and Hollywood Brown was here, so not much stress, not much pressure. But then all of a sudden, those guys get hurt. And then all of a sudden, Worthy came from being this rookie to all of a sudden, I got to step up and play. Because he was not catching the ball in bounds. He was stepping out of bounds when he was catching the ball. And then towards the end of the year, he became the guy. He became the leading receiver in the postseason. So see what his progression is from year one to year two, because, man, he just took off. Mid-season, because he had to. It was like trial by fire because everybody else is hurt. You go, rookie. So I'm curious what he can do in year two.
Jay, I think a name to kind of look at and get excited about is this Ashton Galati that they drafted out of Louisville, the defensive end. There was a story in The Athletic that came out that, you know, a couple of teams wanted to trade up and kind of, you know, get that guy. And then the Chiefs got in there and took him at number 66. You know, Detroit, I think, was one of those teams that wanted him. I think the Rams wanted him and they were hoping to trade up to like number 70 to get him. The Chiefs take him at number 66. You got to think when Brett Veach is kicking your ass on the field and off the field since 2018, this is just another one of those moves that kind of tick off NFL teams and go, damn, he's always a step ahead of us.
Yeah, I agree with you. He kind of fell of his arm length and whatnot, but we had his head coach Jeff Brohm on this weekend because he coached George Karloftis at Purdue and, of course, had Gelati at Louisville. And his defensive coordinator, Mark Hagan, came from Purdue with Karloftis, and he's with Gelati at Louisville. He hooked those two guys up. Gelati and Karloftis were communicating. And the cool thing about it was Karloftis was coaching him via the phone. They'd watch film. They'd have film study together. It's not that they were just, you know, talking to each other on the phone. Hey, man, how you doing? Good job, bro, and all that kind of thing. No, it was watching game film and how he could get better. And I thought that was interesting because it was kind of Coach Karloftis. And now they're together. Now they're teammates, which is crazy. But, Coach Brohm talked about that. The similarities between Karloftis and Gelati, and those are very good comparisons to have because those guys, they're relentless in what they do. And when Brohm was talking about that connection between the two, I was like, okay, I like this more and more and more. When the head coach, who had them both at Purdue and at Louisville, is making those comparisons, like, it's one thing for anybody to write about it. It's another thing for the head coach to talk about it.
Binkley, the schedule release is, I believe, 2 weeks from today.
That's right.
What's the one game on the Chiefs' schedule in 2025/2026 that Jay Binkley is the most interested in?
You know, I would have to say a divisional game. It's got to be in the division. I'm curious Actually, all three of the divisional games are interesting to me because all these teams think they're ready for prime time. But I'm going to say the Broncos because the Broncos made the postseason last year. I know the Chargers did as well. But Bo Nix and that team's feeling themselves. The Chiefs had a 16-game run where they beat them every single season. So I think that game for the Chiefs to go into Denver and keep beating them. I know last year was a joke because they didn't start anybody in that Denver game. But Patrick Mahomes is, what, 19-1 in division games on the road? So I want to see the Chiefs go into Denver and knock off that because they have the most annoying fans. Forget about Cincinnati and all this. The most annoying fans in the NFL are the Broncos in every incomplete pass. Incomplete. By far the most annoying thing in football.
At least they have some sort of success with Super Bowl championships. The Bengals have nothing. That city and St. Louis can both wash down the river.
That's true. One thing about the Bengals, though, Bob, is you got to remember something. They always have the worst draft. The last 2 years have been the absolute worst draft that they could have, and it's great to see.
Mm-hmm.
As Dusty would say, how you doing?
No doubt about it, baby. Binkley, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks from today about the potential of what a schedule release could be because, you know, there's no Royals game on that Thursday, by the way.
You got a schedule release recap show coming Thursday, don't you?
May 14th, when the schedule comes out, there's the Royals game, right?
Yeah, but the next day, May 15th, wide open.
Nothing going on.
Oh, well, you kidding me? Let's roll, man. Five-hour type deal, man.
Now I throw it back to you.
Remember,
you
started the schedule release shows. People don't realize that.
Yeah, and you know what? They put us on late at night, too. We were on after the Royals and Burn. It was like about 11:30 at night it came on. It was tucked away.
Oh, man.
It was like disrespected, and now all of a sudden, like it's prime time. But yeah, the 15th, that could be a schedule release recap. Yeah, I need the email spec.
No doubt about
Please
it.
Please do. Make sure you do that.
We'll talk to you in 2 weeks, Binkley. Stay good, brother.
All right, guys, take care.
There you go. The seed has been planted. We will see if it blossoms into a schedule release.
Oh God, why wouldn't you?
Yeah. Come on, sales, sell it. One night only.
Come
Binkley
on.
Releases the schedule. The Bink Release Show.